Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. We'll continue our study of Yirmiyahu today, focusing on the 19th chapter, in which the prophet presents a symbolic act to capture the attention of his audience. Malbim reminds us that in yesterday's chapter, we learned that Yirmiyahu was sent to the potter's workshop, where he saw the craftsman at the wheel shaping wet clay, and then crushing it to reshape an earthenware jug, working it until it met with his satisfaction. At that point, the utensil was fired in the kiln to harden into glossy ceramic. Now, as the new chapter opens, Hashem directs Yirmiyahu to purchase a large amphora, an earthenware container used to store oil or wine, and carry it ceremoniously in the company of a delegation of prominent Jews and distinguished Kohanim. Koh amar Hashem, Haloch v'kanita bakbuk yotzer harash, u'miziknei ha'am u'miziknei ha'kohanim. As will become clear from the continuation of this chapter, Yirmiyahu carried the jug towards Beit HaMikdash, and then in the company of some national leaders, he went out, as directed, through the eastern gates of the city walls. Ve'yatzata el gei ben Hinnom asher petach shar ha'charazit, ve'karata sham et ha'dvarim asher edaber elecha. Go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, through the entry of the gate Harzit, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell you. Rashi notes that Shar HaCharazit is usually called Shar HaAshpot because this entrance overlooks a dump where trash and shards of pottery, cheres, were thrown. Chazal lists several names for this entrance and indicate that through its gates the Tmeim, people who were ritually defiled, withdrew from the sacred Temple Mount. But Charazit is also a term for the sun, whose early morning rays could be seen through this eastern gate. Malbim points out that this gate led to the sanctuary of the Ammonite cult, Molech, the sun god. There, where many Jews gathered to worship at the massive idol, Yirmiyahu conveyed Hashem's message. Shimu dvar Hashem malchei Yehuda ve'yoshvei Yerushalayim, ko amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael. הנני מביא רעה למקום הזה, אשר כל שומעיה תצלנה אוזניו. יען אשר עזבוני, וינקחו את המקום הזה, ויקטרו בו לאלוהים אחרים אשר לא ידעום, הימה ואבותיהם ומלכי יהודה, ומילו את המקום הזה דם נקיים. Hear the word of Hashem, kings of Yehuda, and the people of Jerusalem. This is what Hashem of hosts, God of Israel, says. I'm about to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of anyone who hears it ring. For they have forsaken me and estranged this place, and have burned incense in it to gods that neither they, nor their ancestors, nor the kings of Yehuda ever knew. And they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. There in the valley of Ben Hinnom, Yirmiyahu witnessed unimaginable horrors committed in public in the presence of Judean leaders. Uvanu et bamot habal, lisrof et bnehem ba'esh, olot labal asher lo tziviti, velo dibarti, velo alta libi. They have built the platforms for Baal to burn their children in the fire as offerings to the Baal, something I did not command or mention, nor did it ever enter my mind. Yirmiyahu and his escorts could see that Jews were openly engaging in the idolatrous rituals that had been banned and supposedly purged during the reign of Yoshiyahu. Now the Jews were reverting to worshipping the gods of their enemies, though such idols proved useless to their ancestors. Moreover, Jews who had griped at the strictures of Torah law did not balk at committing atrocities against their own flesh and blood. Having proved themselves to be hardened and lacking any compassion, Hashem deems these people beyond repair, brittle and empty, like the ceramic jugs from the potter's workshop. So Hashem decrees in verse 6, Lachen hine yamim ba'im neum Hashem, ve'lo yekare la makom haze od hatofet ve'gaye ben hinom, ki'im gay ha'harega. Therefore, watch for the days that are coming, says Hashem, and this place shall no longer be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. The valley of Ben-Hinnom was also known as Tophet, for the cacophony of the drum, in Hebrew, Toph, that drowned out the screams of the children being burned alive on the altars of the Molech. Gay Ben-Hinnom and Tophet would emerge as synonyms for Gehenom, or hell. Yirmiyahu then announces the immutable decree of divine justice in verses 7 and 8. I will void the plans of Yehuda and Yerushalayim for this place, and I will make them fall by the sword before their enemies and at the hand of those who seek their life. I will give their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and for the animals of the earth. I will devastate the city and make it an object of horror and scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff at its wounds. And then he adds, Uvakoti et atzat Yehuda v'Yerushalayim b'makom hazeh, v'hippaltim b'cherev lifnei oivehem u'biyad mevakshei nafsham. Venatati et nivlatam lemachal leof hashamayim ulevehemat haaretz. Vesamti et ha'ir hazot leshama uleshreka kol over aleha yishom veyishrok al kol makoteha. It is typical of Yirmiyahu to use word plays and puns such as bakbuk and uvakoti, perhaps to emphasize the midah keneged midah, the measure for measure, inherent in Hashem's judgments. As Yirmiyahu concludes this fiery speech, he was directed to take the ceramic jug and smash it. V'shavart ha-bakbuk le'enei ha'anashim ha'olchim otach, v'amart alehem ko amar Hashem tzvakot. Kacha ishbor et ha'am haze ve'et ha'ir hazot. Kasher yishbor et kli ha'yotzer asher lo yuchal leherafe od. Uvetofet yikbiru me'ein makom likbor. Break the bottle in the sight of the men who go with you, and tell them, thus says Hashem of hosts, just so I will break this people and this city. Just as the potter smashes his vessel that can't be repaired again. And they shall bury in Tophet until there is no more room to bury. Radak explains that the jug is called bakbuk, for the sound that it makes as liquid pours out of the narrow bottleneck. Bakbuk. Similarly, the verb uvakoti highlights the hollow emptiness of Judean policies and plans, as well as Hashem's corresponding punishment when he will empty the city of its Jewish population. The smashing of the large pitcher must have jolted the people. The sound and visual effects would have punctuated Yirmiyahu's verbal depiction of the shock and uproar that would follow the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim. It should have shaken them out of their torpor. Malbim quotes the Rambam, who wrote that a prophetic message that is accompanied by an action, such as the smashing of the pitcher, cannot be appealed and indicates a final verdict, as Hashem declares in verses 12 and 13. Ken ne'eseh la'makom hazeh ne'um Hashem uliyoshvav, ve'latet et ha'ir hazot ketofet, ve'hayu batei Yerushalayim uvatei malchei Yehuda, kimkom hatofet hatme'im. Lechol abatim asher kitru al gagotehem lechol tzva ha'shamayim, ve'hesach nesachim le'elohim acherim. This is what I will do to this place and to those who live here, declares Hashem. I will make this city like Tophet. The houses in Jerusalem and those of the kings of Yehuda are defiled like this place, Tophet. All the houses where they burned incense on the roofs to all the starry hosts and poured libations to alien gods. Yirmiyahu imagines the screams and the fires of a destroyed Jerusalem and compares them to the atrocious scenes of human sacrifice playing out before his eyes. The hellish horror of Gay Ben Hinnom would soon spread throughout the Judean kingdom and consume all who practiced the demonic rites of idolatry. Thereafter, Yirmiyahu returns to Har HaBayit, and in the courtyard of the Holy Temple, he addresses the dignitaries and the commoners gathered there, beginning in verse 15. Koh amar Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, הנני מביא אל העיר הזאת ועל כל עריה את כל הרע אשר דיברתי עליה, כי הקשו את עורפם לבלתי שמוע את דבריי. Thus says Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, I'm about to bring on this city and all its adjoining towns, all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have made their necks stiff, so they could not hear my words. Mitzudot explains that they made their neck stiff indicates that the people in the audience refused to make eye contact with Yirmiyahu and dismissively turned their backs to him, refusing to listen to what the prophet had to say. Apparently, on his own volition, Yirmiyahu reiterated the message he had delivered at the Valley of Hinnom because he feared that the dignitaries that had witnessed the events at the Valley of Hinnom would not relate what they had seen and heard. Yirmiyahu, however, cannot force the people assembled at the temple to listen to him, and only manages to arouse the ire of the priests and officers, the corrupt and the complacent, as will become clear in the following chapter. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.